her mother. How did the human race appear? And the mother answered, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's how all mankind was made. And 2 days later, the girl asked her father the same question. And the father answered, many years ago there were monkeys, and from which the human race evolved. And the confused little girl returned to her mother and said, Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by man, and Dad said that they developed from monkeys? And the mother answered, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my family, and now he's telling you about his side of the family. Okay? So I have another, I have another joke. Do you want to hear it before I get to my message? All right, we'll do another joke this morning, and there's a reason. So a poor man, he's walking in the forest, and he feels very close to God that day. And he says, God, what is a million years to you? And God replies, my son, a million years to you is like a second to me. And the man says, God, what is $1 million to you? And God says, my son, $1 million to you is less than a penny to me. And it means almost nothing to me. And so the man asks God, so can I have $1 million? And God says, in a second. All right, good. So I wanted to start out on the right foot this morning because I wanted to add, John ended with a question. I want to ask a question this morning, and it's sort of a negative question, so that's why I wanted to get everybody a little ready with a couple of jokes to sort of temper things a little bit. But it's a negative question sort of for us to think about this morning. Has anyone here been disappointed this week? Raise your hands. Okay. And I would say anyone that didn't raise their hand, they just don't want to raise their hand this morning. But have you been disappointed by a person maybe this week, or maybe a situation this week? It doesn't have to be a major thing, but it could be even a minor thing that happened with you this week. Life is filled with disappointments. Life is filled with big and little disappointments. And this is the way life is. So this morning, I want us to look at this one thing, and I wrote this down. God, that the God that is bigger than my disappointments is my God. Amen. Okay? Let's remember that. Remember it during my message. Remember it after my message. Remember it on a daily basis. That my God is bigger than any of my disappointments. Your God is bigger than any of your disappointments. This morning I want to go to a psalm of Asaph. Asaph wrote 12 of the psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. And Asaph is interesting because, you know, so many times people's names are prophetic names that when they were given. And when we see it, we believe that somehow the Lord spoke to the mother or father of the family and gave them prophetically a name. And so, just as the angel came to Miriam and said, you are going to name your son Yeshua because he will be the salvation of his people. He will save his people from their sins. And we know that Yeshua means salvation. So Asaph. Asaph means one who gathers the people together, or one who gathers together. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. So let's go to Psalm 77, verses 1 to 3. Remember, this is a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, who, and I was troubled, and I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. So we see here, this is a In the opening of a psalm, we see that a guy has some problems. He has some disappointments in his life. People disappoint us. You know, while you were, some people raise their hand immediately up. Maybe I saw people raise their hand maybe a couple of seconds later. Maybe you thought about it. But the thing is, people in places and situations, but you know, but people, I know a lot of times when people around us disappoint us, it can hurt us. You know, spouses, children can disappoint us. Parents can disappoint us. Our boss at work or workers can disappoint us. Friends can disappoint us. Sometimes I may disappoint you. And it may happen every once in a while that I may disappoint you. And sometimes you disappoint yourself. So this psalm expresses, we see, he gets a little emotional here. It expresses emotion. A lot of the psalms do that. They're songs. They're not just poems. They are songs. And so, you know, I guess in our society today, it might be sort of like country western songs, you know. My wife left me and my dog left me. Real emotional kind of songs, you know what I mean? Not really, but the psalms really can do that. They can really be emotional because they are songs. They are songs of life for us to read today, thousands of years later. They are songs of life. Actually, songs of life, the way life really is, as we see from Asaph's opening of his psalm here. Now, here's the thing that I think is really interesting. Asaph was a Levite. Asaph was commissioned by King David. Asaph was in charge of the temple singers. So see his name, gathering together. He did work for the Lord. He did the service as a Levite in the temple. He gathered people together to be singers during the music in the temple to sing to the Lord, maybe to lead everyone in singing to the Lord. He had this position. So Asaph, he had a pretty good gig, as they would say. He had a good gig. He had a good job. He had a good position. And yet, you can hear in these first three verses, you could hear his disappointment with God. So he's disappointed with what's going on around him. So look, here's a guy that we would think, man, he had it all. But he's putting out his heart and telling the readers, the listeners of the song, and so he was singing this song at the temple. And so we see his disappointment in what's going on around him. And then he gets disappointed with God. He's not really sure. Is God listening? Is God there? What are you going to do? How are you going to help me, God? Psalm 77. Let's go to verse 7, 8, and 9. And so now he asks six questions in his song. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Salah. Questions. Imagine. He's asking God all these questions. Disappointment that we're hearing here. Six questions. Now, if Asaph would ask me, would come to me and he'd start singing this song and ask me, you know, honestly, I would say, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't know how to answer you. I'm not sure how God is answering you, but the thing is, we do know God's nature, so we know that God's nature is not necessarily like this. If you are serving the Lord and your heart is for the Lord, it's not God's nature to be angry and to shut down his tender mercies to us. It's not his nature. So maybe that's the way I would answer him. But he's asking these questions because there are some doubts in his life. Obviously, there's something going on in his life. There's disappointment in his life. So the reality is, if we could figure out or know everything about God, and we would never have to ask God any questions, what would that say about God? If we said we know everything about God, what would that say about God? The fact is, we don't know everything about God, because God is God. But we do know certain things about God, and one good thing that we know is how great God is. So we know that he is greater than any of our disappointments that we have in our life, even though we don't know completely about God, because if we knew everything about God, then God really wouldn't be God. See? So it's okay to ask questions. I know I've said this every once in a while. It's okay to ask questions to God. Sometimes we get disappointment. Sometimes things happen in our life and we question God. God, how could you have this happen in my life? How could you allow this to happen? Why did you do this? It's okay to ask questions to God. However, when God answers you, we must be willing to listen to the answer and obey God. You know, in other words, don't ask questions and expect only an answer that you want to hear. Sometimes God is going to answer us the way he wants to answer us. Now, I know this happens sometimes in humankind. People have done this. People want to know a certain thing they want to know about doing in their life. They want to know if something's the right thing for them to do. They're not really sure. And so what they do is they go to one person and they ask the question and the answer isn't what they like. So they go to another person and they keep asking the same question. And the person may answer in a way that they don't like. So they go to another person and they'll keep going to people until somebody agrees with them. That's what happens, okay, with us. But it shouldn't happen with God. It's okay to ask questions, but sometimes we have to wait for the answer. But it's not, he's not going to answer. God is going to be honest with you. He's not going to be like people can be sometimes. And even if people want to give you an answer that you're not going to agree with, they'll give you an answer that you're going to agree with because they don't want to lose you as a friend and they don't want to offend you and they feel you're going to get upset, so they lie to you. God is not going to do that. So just remember, it's okay to ask God answers, but make sure that you are open enough for the answers. But life is life for each and every one of us. And sometimes it's what we have this, and I know that we've seen the phrase, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes good things happen to bad people. Because life is life. And there are a lot of factors that are going on. And so, unfortunately, what we would like it to be is only good things happen to good people. And only bad things happen to bad people. It doesn't happen that way. Because life is life and it's very complicated and very complex. But we have to understand that. So years ago, there was a rabbi, Rabbi Harold Kushner, wrote the book. And the book was, and maybe some of you read it years ago. I read it years ago. And the book was, it was called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. It was a very popular book. Some of the things he said in there were really good. Some of the things, they weren't really that good, and I didn't agree with them. But the thing is, this was the book. And so it got people sort of talking about that and thinking about it. But he says something in the book. He said, many biblical verses are like inkblot tests, revealing more about us than the text itself. And let's think about that. You know, an inkblot test, they say to you, what does this look like to you? And it doesn't, there's not an answer. There's not a set answer. Whatever you look at the picture and it looks like, you think what that looks like to you. It's this very subjective thing. Well, what he said in there was that many times biblical verses, he says that they're like an inkblot because they reveal more about us than about what the text, because it depends on how we look at that and we interpret it for our lives. And that actually is one of the good things about God's word, because God's word can affect different people on different levels. How can that do that? Because his word is supernatural. And so when he writes something to us and, or says something and we read it, we can look at it and we can take it for something to help us. And sometimes maybe 10 people read it. They have 10 situations in their life. They don't seem to be related situations, but everyone can read that same word of the Lord and get something out of it. And so that's why he says it can reveal many times more about ourselves than it's actually revealing what literally the words mean word by word in the word of God. Because the Bible is a supernatural book. It is written supernaturally, and so many times when we read it, if we allow the Spirit to move in us when we read it, there is a wonderful spiritual effect that happens there. So I have a couple of verses this morning, Isaiah 61:3, Jeremiah 31:13, and from the New Testament, John 16:20. So let's look at all of these together. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jeremiah says, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. And so this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah and Jeremiah the prophets. God is telling us what he is capable of doing in our lives. And then we read from John, from Yochanan, from the Brit Hadashah, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And these are the words of Yeshua. I use these three examples this morning because this is God in his fullness as the Father and God as the Messiah, as the Mashiach. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows about your disappointments. He knows. And so he can turn all these things, all these disappointments in your life, he can turn them to joy, to praise, into strength in your life. He can do this. How do we know it? Because he tells us that he can do it. And God isn't a liar. So God tells us these. The way we'll paraphrase it in today's life, with God, you can turn your lemons into lemonade, right? It's a good saying, out of lemons, we can make lemonade. God is telling us that I am here, I want to turn all these sorrows and disappointments. I want to turn them into joy and gladness and into strength for you. He wants to do that for us. So we understand with God, all these things are possible. So let your disappointments bring trust in the Lord. And let your trust in the Lord turn things around in your life. Back to Asaph here. Psalm 77, we're going to read a few verses, 10, 11, and 12. And I said, this is my anguish. And this is what he's singing. We don't know what the tune is. This is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work, and I will talk of your deeds, Lord. Amen. You know, our disappointments, if we look at the big picture here, our disappointments should remind us that there is more to life than just this day-to-day life that we're living. There is this spiritual component that is right here in our midst. This relationship with the Lord. So it's more than just getting up in the morning and taking a shower and having breakfast and doing your work during the day and coming home and relaxing for a while and going to bed. That's just the daily stuff. But our life, interwoven in that, should be the spiritual component of us acknowledging God, speaking of his great deeds, remembering God, trying to connect with God during the day. It's there. And somehow we have to sort of mesh the physical with the spiritual together during the day. It's not healthy to only have physical. And I want to tell you, it is not healthy to only want to have the spiritual, because you need the physical to keep up your body and strength and take care of yourself and your family. You need to do that. You can't just disregard everything. You know, that would be like people that say, oh, I'm just going to leave everything and leave my family and I'm going to go everything and I'm going to go up into the mountains and I'm going to live in the woods and I'm just going to pray to the Lord every day. What good is that? What good is that? You're not doing yourself any good. Oh, I'm going to live in the woods and I'm going to live on branches and grass and in the woods and, you know, and drink some water from the stream and that's it. And so you're not taking care of yourself, you're not taking care of your body, and you're leaving your family. What good is that? You see, so we need to have this good, healthy mix together of the two things, the physical and the spiritual together. And that's how they work hand in hand. And so let's let our disappointments remind us that God is here. And that there's more to life than just the daily, what we're doing every day. Because, you know, look, you know, this is, you know, there are a lot of people today that life gets to them. And they say, I don't want it anymore. I want to end it. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I want to get out of here. And today, you know, look, there are more suicides today than ever before. There are more young suicides than ever before. People are, because you know why? The day-to-day living, it is rough. And it's rougher and rougher every day. So if you are only on the physical, you're in trouble. We need to have that component. We need to have that spiritual component and be able to put them together. So if you noticed, in the first two PowerPoints that I used with the verses of Asaph's opening lines of his song, at the end of the lines, it said, Salah. Salah. It's a pause. It's sort of a direction to the singers. A pause. Personally, I think it's to let the words sink in. In other words, they're singing this and people are listening and maybe people are singing along. And before we jump to the next line or the next verse, let's just have a little bit of a pause here and let what we are singing and listening to sink in. And so the direction is there, Salah. Sometimes we need to Salah. We need to do that. We need to get away from that physical stuff that's going on and maybe all those disappointments that are happening in our lives, and we need to Salah. It's like years ago, and I know I'm dating myself, years ago, Coca-Cola had the ad that said, Coke, it's the pause that refreshes. Well, it is. That's what Salah is. It is the pause that should refresh us and to allow us really to have those words think in. So we need to have some Salahs in our lives. God knows. Trusting isn't automatic. God knows that trust is a process. He knows this. God knows that trust is a journey. He understands this. So we see even with Asaph, there was a little bit of a journey going on here because he had all these questions, and they weren't questions like, God, why is the sky blue? Why does dirt taste terrible when you put it in your mouth? It wasn't those kinds of questions. It was spiritual questions. He wanted to know, God, how come you're not doing this and you're not doing that? And why is this happening in my life? You see, and so the thing is, it is a journey. It was a journey for Asaph. It's a journey for us every day, step by step. It is a journey. Understand that. And then the last thing is written, and we've seen it so many times. It's from Solomon, Shlomo. He wrote the Proverbs, supposedly the wisest man. And this is what we read from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We have it up there? You don't? No? Well, it's a good thing it's one of the ones that I know by heart. Because usually I'll say, I don't remember what it said. Don't, you know. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean on not your understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of his ways, and he will set your path straight. Right? Well, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to remember one verse. Because this is what the message really is all about. We have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Don't just lean on our understanding. Don't just lean on what people are telling us, trying to tell us in our lives. But we have to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and he's going to set your path straight. The disappointments are going to be turned into joy and gladness. He's going to take care of that journey that you are walking through each and every day. We need to constantly be looking forward to our future with him, knowing that he's going to set our path straight. There'll be hills and valleys. There will be disappointments. There'll be times of joy and gladness. But he's going to set our path straight. And we should be excited in what's going to be in the future and what he has in store for each and every one of us. And the wonderful thing is, we know the end of the book. We know, with all the meandering around and everything and craziness and disappointments and with all these things going on, we know the final words of the book. Before it says the end, and we close up the book, we know that God has this wonderful place in store for each and every one of us that have accepted the Passover Lamb of God. We know that we have a wonderful place for each and every one of us in the kingdom. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for strengthening us through your word and showing us that you are here for us. You hear and you see and you know all about our disappointments, but you want to be here to increase our strength and our faith by showing us how you can help me getting through these things on a daily basis. We thank you, Lord, because you are who you are. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.